Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And away we go with the final hour of the Rob Brown Radio Program. Right here on the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rob Brown. Brandon in for the great man Lonzo today. Ever so glad to have you here on the program with us on a...
Thank you, sir.
Lovely. Lovely. It's not so lovely. It's gross outside. But it is Tuesday. And, of course, it does place us just one day closer. One day closer to Masters Thursday. Can't wait. Love the Masters. Brandon and I were talking about it during the break. I'm excited about Eldrick Tiger Woods. Do I think Tiger's winning this thing? Yes, I do. He gave up sex for this tournament. He's going to win by 9 strokes. strokes. I want you to think about all the energy that was. Tiger Woods took down, and I mean this, the most dominant athletic career of any athlete in my lifetime. Put anybody you want. Put Jordan in there. Put Kobe in there. Put any athlete from any sport. Put LeBron in there. The most dominant career of any athlete. There is no other athlete that has defined his career. I would say Tiger, Brady, and in the modern era, I don't think there's anybody else that was as dominant over their sport as Eldrick Tiger Woods was in his prime. Let us point out that even with everything that is going on, Tiger Woods, should he make the cut this week? Should he be playing on Saturday? We'll be doing so for the 24th year at the most difficult golf tournament on the face of planet Earth. Okay? 24 years. In a row. Let me tell you why I love Tiger Woods as much as I love Tiger Woods. If you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you may have heard me say this before, but I'll say it again because I think this is as good a time as any to bring it up as Eldrick gets prepared to play in the Masters again. I grew up around golf. Around it. I didn't really play when I was young. I might occasionally go out in the backyard and like clobber some golf balls just to see if I could do it. But I didn't really play golf as a youngster. The extent of golf for me was goofy golf, which was the decades old mini putt course in my hometown growing up. I didn't start playing golf until I was probably 14, 15. And the old man kind of got me into it at that point. Around that time, for me, was around the time that a young kid named Tiger, who I know had been in the game for a while, but I was unfamiliar, started balling out. And around the time that I was starting to play golf, taking lessons, going to the range, etc., Tiger Woods was starting to win some golf tournaments here and there. And it was pretty spectacular to watch. And then The sport that I grew up around but did not play. The sport that I eventually started playing, which had been, up until that point, sorry if it makes you uncomfortable, a stuffy old white guy game. It just was, okay? And it was, it just was what it was. You go down, and it didn't matter if you went down to the local Muni or you went up to the nicest country club in the Florida Panhandle. It was a stuffy old white guy game. And I remember when Tiger's video game started to take off. I remember when Tiger's video game series started taking off because all of the sudden, Rob Brown, who after he got into golf, could very frequently be found, whether it was on lunch break or it was between gigs or whatever, my golf clubs just stayed in the trunk of my car. And I would go down to whatever the closest driving range
you
was.
You were afraid to leave your golf clubs in your car.
I had a trunk back in the day. I would leave the golf clubs in the trunk, and I would go to whatever the closest course was on my break, and I would buy a bucket of range balls, and I would work on whatever club I was working on that day. And after a while, you started seeing the demographics around clubhouses change. Because it wasn't just white guys out there hitting golf balls anymore. And it wasn't just specifically older white guys out there hitting golf balls anymore. All of a sudden, you were seeing young people out there hitting golf balls. All of a sudden, you were seeing black kids and Latino kids and Asian kids out there hitting golf balls. All of a sudden, you were seeing groups like First Tee, an organization here in the upstate that I am proud to have a wonderful working relationship with, explode in popularity. And it was all because of Tiger Woods. It was all because of that guy. Now, Tiger Woods has made some mistakes. I'm not arguing that. Everybody has made some mistakes because while
nobody's perfect, but I am very, very close.
Tiger Woods, not a perfect man, flawed man. Everybody's a flawed man or woman. Tiger made some mistakes for sure. And Tiger has, let's be real, paid for those mistakes, literally and metaphorically. Tiger Woods lost his marriage. Tiger Woods almost lost his career, damn near lost his life because of a series of dumb decisions and mistakes. But I would also on the flip side of that make the argument that Tiger Woods didn't open the door. Tiger Woods battering rammed down the door to a sport which used to be very exclusive. You had to be a, frankly, certain demographic, and you had to be a certain age to be part of that particular community. And Tiger Woods, like I said, didn't open that door. He kicked that door down. And it was impressive. So I am excited to see what Tiger Woods does. I'm excited. I'm interested to see what Tiger Woods is going to do. Tiger Woods, in his last six tournaments, has finished 47th, withdrawn, missed the cut, T45, withdrawn. I don't expect Tiger to go out there and kill the game. What I am going to say is, my dude gave up sex for 2 years. That almost ruined his career. You don't think he's coming out for friggin' blood this week? Now, I hope his ankle cooperates. I hope his back cooperates. I will tell you that, maybe this is dumb of me, but I kind of believe him when he says that he has had mobility issues the last couple of rounds. He has battled the flu. He has battled his ankle locking up, his lower back locking up. He has dialed in the last 2 weeks to get ready for this tournament. I hope he makes it. I hope the weather cooperates, because I remember the one he played a couple of years ago. The weather was kind of crappy around Augusta. It was a little chilly, and he said that, like, that didn't contribute. Like, that hurt his back. That prevented his back from loosening up enough to play his best golf. I hope the weather cooperates. I hope his body cooperates. I would love to see Tiger make a run at Sunday and go out with some level of appreciation for what this guy is and what he has meant to this game.
Let me ask you this, Rob. Do you think Tiger has revolutionized the game of golf, or has he just been a contributing factor to the growth of golf?
I mean, I guess it would depend on how you define it. Do I think that Tiger revolutionized the game? No. I think one of the beautiful things about the game of golf is that while the equipment changes every year, the ball changes every year, the greens layouts, the fairway layout, the length of the course changes every year, at its core, golf is golf. Golf is an incredible game. Golf is a mental game. Golf is very interesting in that there are going to be X amount of dudes out there walking 18 on Thursday and Friday, half of that number on Saturday and Sunday. But the greatest golfers in history have all said the same thing, which is golf is not you versus the other golfers. Golf is you versus yourself. Tiger himself has said, if it's a Sunday round, I'm not looking at the scoreboard. It doesn't matter what John Rahm shoots. Doesn't matter what Scottie Scheffler shoots. Doesn't matter what Max Homa shoots. All that matters is what I shoot. If I go out there and I play the best round of my life and I shoot a 67 on Masters Sunday and somebody else cards a 66, good on them. They have done something incredible. Good on them. So I think at the end of the day, at its core, golf is golf. And there's something to be said for that. But I love the fact that Tiger Woods, while he did not revolutionize the game, because again, the game is the game. It has been that way since the ball was made out of a rubber layer on top of a bunch of chicken feathers. And the clubs were literally woods. To today, with drivers that are made out of the same alloy as Lieutenant Dan's legs, which is the space shuttle, by the way. At its core, the game is still the game. The game is you versus yourself versus your mind versus the course. And I think that's great. What I appreciate about Tiger Woods more than anything else was that Tiger Woods made golf cool. He made, even if only for a couple of years, and I don't think it's for a couple of years because I think, again, you head down to the range now, you're still going to see a wider demographic than you ever did. Hell, even when I was a kid in the late 90s. He made it cool. He made it cool to play a golf video game. I don't think we have Top Golf without Tiger Woods. I don't think we have organizations at the level of success of, you know, the first tee organization, etc. I think a lot of that is still probably growing. I think the majority of the guys on the tour are probably more traditional golfers without Tiger Woods. But I mean, and I do think this is somewhat dated because even guys, I mean, like Rory McIlroy. Tiger Woods was an inspiration for Rory McIlroy. Rory's been on the tour for a decade and a half now. But he was an inspiration to Rory McIlroy. Guys like Ricky Fowler out there in the bright orange shirt and matching flat-bill cap. There's no Ricky Fowler without Tiger Woods. Ricky Fowler was off playing Madden on the Xbox or whatever. I appreciate that Tiger Woods made golf cool. And that, I wouldn't say he revolutionized the game of golf. I would say he revolutionized the demographic that plays it. I would say that he forever changed who is welcome in golf circles. I think there was a very long time. It was an ugly backstory. I think it was a very ugly backstory in golf for a very long time that a lot of people were not welcome in the game. I think there was a lot of time that a lot of people probably felt uncomfortable if they were to go to a country club. because they would have caught a certain type of look from a certain type of people. Ain't like that no more. I mean, it is at some country clubs, but screw them. Most places, doesn't matter. Black, white, young, old, Asian, Latino, short, fat, male, female, they don't care. They care about, are you here? Do you love the game? And are you going to play it the right way? And I think Tiger Woods gets a thumbs up for that. Like I said, he's made some mistakes. He's made some mistakes that I've in the past called unforgivable. Driving under the influence. That's not something that I can look at and go, eh, you know, you made a mistake. But I think he understands it. I think he has paid for it, both literally and metaphorically. And, you know, I think, especially since the accident that almost cost him his freaking ability to walk, his literal leg, from what I can tell, he's been a great dad. He's been a great ambassador for the game. He's been somebody that understands his influence and his legacy, and he has done good things for the sport. And while he has made mistakes that, again, are very difficult, if not impossible, to forgive, I do have to look at that in juxtaposition with how he has filled his responsibilities to a game that I love for as long as he's done it. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute and run through some of the quick stories that we have. Contract extension for the Carolina Panthers and more. Nolan says golf is a game for gambling degenerates, which I am one of. Yeah, same here. Joey B said, I got 10 bucks on Tiger at plus 5,000 to win. I'll go down that rabbit hole with you. I'll throw a tenner at Eldrick at 50 to 1. We'll see what happens. Maybe it gets wild. What a story it would be. Back after this on the Rob Brown.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, let's run through a couple of stories that we have not gotten an opportunity to get to yet. Start with the Carolina Panthers. We'll talk to Rashad Beard about this on Thursday. Should be back from his vacation and able to join us this week. They have re-signed defensive tackle Derek Brown, a four-year contract extension that is worth $96,063.165 million guaranteed. That averages out to $24 million a year, the fourth highest in the NFL for a defensive tackle, behind only the Chiefs' Chris Jones, the Raiders' Christian Wilkins, and Ravens' Justin Matabuke, all who signed new contracts as free agents during the offseason. This past year, Derek Brown set a Panthers record for tackles by a lineman with 67, took his game to another level last season after Carolina shifted to that 3-4 defensive scheme under DC Ejiro Evero, who is coming back to the team next year. Brown posted a defensive lineman record 103 tackles and led the NFL with a 47% run-stop win rate, according to ESPN Analytics. The 6'5", 320-pounder rarely came off the field, played in 90% of the Panther snaps this year, was named a Pro Bowler for the first time. This is the move. Dude had 1 year left on his deal. And I promise you, had this extension not gotten done, had this extension not gotten signed, Derrick Brown would have been gone with a capital G next year, because this guy has been recognized. This guy has been recognized by the league. He has been recognized by defensive coordinators around it. Every time the Cats lined up for a game in the back half of the season last year, whenever an opposing head coach did an interview, Derrick Brown was a Cat who got called out by name. When we came into this offseason and we started talking about, all right, what do the Cats need to do? What does Carolina need to do to give themselves the best opportunity for growth next year? Because again, while I think the team is absolutely going to be better next year, they're still not ready to contend for the division. I think Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta gives them the heads up, as long as he can outduel future Hall of Famer Derek Carr down in New Orleans. But Derek Brown was the most important part of your defense. Defensive lineman, in my opinion, especially if you're going to run a 3-4 like Carolina does. A good interior defensive lineman is the heart and soul of that. A good interior defensive lineman demands a double team. And Derrick Brown does. And if he demands a double team with the extra linebacker back there, it creates a world where linebackers in the background have more freedom, have more flexibility, and they need more flexibility in order to move left and right, in order to keep up with running backs who are playing lateral football. And in the NFC South specifically, there's a few of them. So that to me is a big deal. That is a great signing. This to me says Dan Morgan's got his priorities in line. Because this is money that absolutely could have gone to Brian Burns. And as much as I hate seeing Brian Burns gone, at the end of the day, Derrick Brown was. And it almost feels counterintuitive. Derrick Brown was the primary player of your defense last year. Derrick Brown is the heart and soul of your defense. Derrick Brown is the guy that frees up, not just by demanding double teams linebackers, but he also frees up the pass rush elsewhere. He's not a guy who is going to end. And this is one of those spots that I try to warn people. If you judge a guy by what's on the stat sheet, with guys like defensive tackles, you are almost inevitably going to miss out. You are almost inevitably going to create a world where you miss out on the most important things that a guy does for you. That's just an ugly reality. If you try to judge what Derrick Brown is and what he means to this program based on the stat sheet, you're going to miss out on the primary things that he is responsible for on defense. And the primary things he's responsible for are making sure that other guys get theirs. He is wildly, wildly important to what the Carolina Panthers need to be able to do this upcoming season. If they are going to be successful, this is a fantastic call. This is a fantastic call. This is the right call. Dan Morgan got this one right, and I'm glad to see it. I really am. UConn knocks off Purdue 75-60 last night. We talked about this back in the first hour. We'll get to it again very quickly in passing here. Look, Dan Hurley did an excellent job coaching this team up. It really is that simple, in my opinion. This team came in with a defensive plan. That defensive plan was, look, Zach Edey's going to get his. We know Zach Edey's going to get his. That's not a question mark. That's a statement. The question is, how do we make sure that nobody else gets theirs? And UConn had the absolute perfect game plan in place. We're going to let Edie get his. This is something that a couple of other teams tried. Very few of them were successful with. We're going to let Edie get his because we know he's going to. We're just going to prevent anybody else from getting going. And I think they did a wonderful job of that last night. On the flip side, I said going into this game, I really truly thought that pacing was everything. The team that set the pace, the team that maintained the pace, was going to end up being your national champions. That is exactly what happened. This was a game that from start to finish, the pace of this game was dictated 100% by the UConn Huskies. Every bit of this game saw its pace dictated by UConn. And the beautiful thing was, it wasn't like they were leaning on, let's be great with the three ball. It wasn't like they were leaning on, let's be incredible with, you know, the speed up, the hurry up offense. They just ran their sets. And down the stretch, Iron Eagle said, hey, yo, look, here's the deal. UConn is just going to flat out wear out Purdue by running their sets, by not doing anything outside of what they did that brought them to this dance. That is exactly what they did, and it worked like an absolute dream, man. It worked out like an absolute dream. This basketball team was wildly frustrating if you had to play them. But if you were watching them play, man, you saw art. You saw art, in my opinion. You saw Dan Hurley have, again, an exceptional game plan. You saw UConn execute that game plan. You saw them all but remove a All-American from the stat sheet. I mean, let me rephrase that. When I say remove, my dude Zach Edey absolutely had a 37-point night. There's not much more you could have asked for out of that guy. The only thing I could have asked for Zach Edey was more help from everybody who wasn't Zach Edey. But nobody else got going. At any point, did anybody else get going? They suffocated to death everybody they played. And as a basketball dude, man, like that's the kind of coach I'm on the lookout for. Hurley was asked after the game if he was running it back at UConn, and he said, absolutely. Absolutely. He said, I'm trying to build a dynasty here. This is not something. He made a retirement joke, and everybody on the inside the TNT / college basketball crew was like, gasp. Hurley was like, nah, I ain't going nowhere. We're building a dynasty here. And they're absolutely going to. They're absolutely going to. So I'm intrigued to see how that plays out down the line. We mentioned the women's college basketball television audience. I'm going to tell you right now, I get done with the show. I got some promos to cut. I got some commercials to record. I got some audio to edit coming up at 3 p.m. today. While Diesel and Cole Bryson are holding it down on Wire to Wire, Rob Brown is going to be filling in on the BetQL Network's You Better You Bet, along with legend of broadcasting Nick Costas. That'll be on from 3 to 7 on the BetQL Network if you need another 4 hours of Rob Brown in your life today. Anyway, I was talking to Cody Decker, and we had a conversation in a text thread going with Nick this weekend about the audience that was going to be tuned in for the Women's College Basketball National Championship on Sunday. I told both of those fellas that my prediction was going to be in the ballpark of 17 million viewers. I really thought 17 was a reasonable number. That is a number that puts them in line with every other basketball game that has been shown on ESPN in a very long time. The preliminary audience in the report, audience number, is 18.7 million is the preliminary number. Later on today, Nielsen is going to release their full audience number. And I'm going to guess right now that number is going to check in closer to 19 than it does, 19.5 than it does 18.5. A preliminary audience of 18.7 million. Let me put that, or attempt to put that into the context of other numbers. The only sporting events in the United States to draw a bigger TV audience since 2019 have been football games, the World Cup, and the Olympics. It is the most watched basketball game since 2019, when the NCAA title game between Virginia and Texas Tech on the men's side averaged 19.6 million. And while I do not think that the audience numbers from this game are going to break that number, I do think they will approach that number. I do think they'll be in the ballpark of that number. I do think they will be closer than a lot of people who do not want to see women shooty hoops succeed are going to be comfortable with. I think it is going to butt right up against that number. And I hope it does. I said back in the first hour, we had a long discussion about this. I truly, genuinely hope that the people putting together the future of women's college basketball figure out whatever magical formula it was that turned Caitlin Clark, that turned Angel Reese, that turned Haley Van Lith, that turned Camilla Cardoso, that turned Raven Johnson, that turned Cameron Brink, that turned all these players into must-see TV. I hope they figured out whatever that formula was, and I hope they replicate it, because there's a huge opportunity. We talked about this early, and I'm actually glad I brought this back up, because we got a question from Wesley earlier in the show that I would like to address. I said, hey, look, if you are one of the people that has hit me over the past couple of months with, Rob, I'm just tired of women's college basketball being crammed down our throats, I have news for you. It wasn't crammed down your throat. In fact, quite the opposite. Whether you like it, whether you don't, the American people wanted women's college basketball. You want to know how I know? Because it was on television. There is one reason, and one reason alone, that anybody at all, anywhere, puts anything on TV. Money. If you are spending money to advertise on television, you are doing it so that people come buy your product or your service or whatever. If you are selecting a particular actor for a role, a decision that gets made about television, it is because you believe that actor will draw an audience with either their notoriety and infamy or their performance. Or you're not picking that actor because it's too much money. Still financially driven decision. Whatever the reason, every decision when something gets placed on TV, and yes, that does include sporting competition and all of the decisions that lead up to the particular presentation. Baseball went with the pitch clock. Why? Do they think it's because it's better for the game? No, they think it's going to help them sell. Because if games are 3 hours and 10 minutes instead of 3 hours and 40 minutes, they believe that grows the audience. If that grows the audience, it grows the ratings. If it grows the ratings, it grows the amount that clubs, teams, and the league can charge for advertising within them. I should rephrase that. It changes the amount that television channels can charge for advertising, which in turn changes the amount of money that MLB can demand the next time that they renegotiate their television broadcasting rights. That's why these decisions get made. Not a gosh darned different reason at all. It is all financially driven. So, if women's basketball is being shoved down your throat, it's not. It is up there because a large percentage of Americans were watching. And if you doubt that I am correct, do like I am going to do today. While I am hosting You Better You Bet from 3 to 7 of the BetQL Network, I am also going to have one eye like a sexy chameleon turned at my computer monitor waiting for the news flash that the Nielsen numbers dropped. Waiting to see what the Nielsen audience turns out to be. Because I suspect what you are going to find out when the Nielsen number drops is that everything I am saying right now is correct. The reason that it got more hype than ever before is because more people were watching. More people were watching because it got more hype than ever before. Those two things, big space dork. Those two things are like two celestial bodies in motion. They just rotate around each other. And as one grows, it impacts the other. The more hype there is, the more people watch it. The more people watch it, the more hype there is. Sometimes, as the Joker said, it just takes a little push. And this year, that little push's name was Caitlin Clark.
You paid attention to it, and Nolan said on the stream, not that I cared, but it was definitely pushed very hard with regards to Caitlin Clark being on ESPN every 30 seconds. No. You think it was there hard because you recognized it. Had you not recognized it, you would have never have known. It's the same amount of time that's played no matter what. Yes, she is a star. Yes, she is the GOAT right now of college women's basketball. But did you know that she was before or what? Or is it just because, you know, ESPN made it out to be that Caitlin Clark broke Pete Maravich's record? You know, which one was it that caused you to watch it more? It Rob says it right there, that it wasn't shoved down your throat. It was the fact that it was just brought more attention to it than what was already there. So I and to go to your point, Rob, with are there going to be more Caitlin Clark Juniors? Oh, absolutely there is. I think there's going to be more Caitlin Clark Juniors, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink. I think there's going to be so much more advances for women's college sports. I'm looking forward to the future. I even hope that the WNBA gets the notoriety they deserve and the women get paid more than what they're being paid now, because it's excellent basketball. You know, Family Guy likes to make fun of Seth MacFarlane loves to make fun of women's basketball. But you know what, though? Women's sports is here to stay, and it is darn good entertainment. I love watching women's sports, college softball, college basketball, you name it. It is worth every dollar to watch.
So, one of the reasons, as somebody who's been in this game a long time, that there's always been Diana Taurasi's, and there's always been Cheryl Swoops and Sue Bird's and Dawn Staley's, and there's always been phenomenal college and professional women's athletes. The reason it got notorious this year is because of just how quickly the talent level advanced. But here's the reality. It is also because of accessibility. All of these things work in tandem. It's a cycle, and it all rolls with each other. The one thing that you cannot predict, and again, as I've said before, I'm going to say again, everything is professional wrestling.
Professional wrestling is cool.
One thing that can't be predicted is when an audience will organically connect to someone or something. I go back to the lead up to WrestleMania 30, for those of you that are wrestling fans, the Daniel Bryan thing. There was no way the WWE knew when they started, when Daniel Bryan started taking off, that this was going to be the guy the audience connected with. Nobody knew that this undersized, long-haired, bearded little hippie from Washington State was going to be the guy that everybody connected to. And the next thing you know, he is the most pushed guy in the history of the company to that point because of it. Caitlin Clark was that. And what happened was last year, because she was playing so well and something clicked that America linked up with Caitlin Clark, and we organically started following her. Then ESPN went, oh, America's connected. We got to push her. It's just like wrestling. For some reason, leading up to 30, wrestling audiences clicked and linked up with Daniel Bryan, and WWE went, as much as we don't want this to be the guy, we got to push this guy. He's who the audience wants. They gave us what we wanted, and again, the fact that ESPN made Caitlin Clark into this megastar, yeah, on older platforms is proof of that. And now what happens is, because we did this and we turned in this number, now all of a sudden there are young ladies across this country that got exposed to a megastar, yeah, in college basketball, arguably like never before. Arguably like never before. And now they feel like that could be me. I can see myself in her Jordans. I can see myself in her shoes. And now there's going to be a generation that is 7, 8, 9, 10 years old right now who over the next handful of days are going to say, Mom, Dad, I want to play basketball like Caitlin Clark. And they're gonna grow that game exponentially. And I'm telling you now, 10 years from now, there's going to be a freaking explosion in the number of Caitlin Clarks. It's going to make Caitlin Clark's performance this season become a regularity, because there's going to be 50 Caitlin Clarks that were inspired by Caitlin Clark this year. And that is what we want, as is evidenced by these numbers. Let's take a break. We're coming back. We'll wrap up the show. It's Rob. It's Brandon. It's you. It's
after the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, last thing I'll say about it, and then I got a couple more things before we call it a show. Let me be real clear. For those of you, I got my dog Nolan is over here on our stream chat. We do stream all 4 hours of the show all the time. If you are a South Carolina fan that it is that believes that there should have been more time spent talking about South Carolina and less time spent talking about Caitlin Clark, who, and this is true, I did the research, did not win the national championship this year. For the record, my dudes, my dudettes, that's on you to change. That's on you. Because you are given more of what you react to. I don't think I'm giving you any industry secrets. Maybe I am, but I don't think I am. You are given more of what you react to. This is why I have said, I've literally gotten in trouble with it here. Okay? You are given what you react to. If there is a media personality that you do not like, including me, do not dunk on them on Twitter. Do not share their video around on Facebook going, this guy's a big, stupid, dummy idiot. Because when our bosses get a look at our interaction reports on Monday mornings, they do not say Rob Brown got 40,000 interactions that were positive and 60,000 interactions that were negative. It just says Rob Brown got 100,000 interactions. It just says there were 100,000 opportunities that an advertiser could have gotten his message in front of a potential customer. That's all it says. And we get credit for that. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. That's what we get credit for. So if you want, if you believe, and again, I don't even disagree, I don't even agree with the take, with all due respect to my dog Nolan. Because I did flip over to the post-game press conference. The lady friend and I were watching that. She's a Gamecock alum. We flipped over to watch the post-game. They were doing interviews with the girls. They were talking about the win. They were talking about the 38-game winning streak run up to it. They were talking about what, yeah, I think we can go ahead and label as a dynasty for the Lady Gamecock basketball program. That's what they were talking about. Did they talk about Caitlin Clark and her legacy? Yeah, of course they were. Caitlin Clark was, like it or not, the most visible basketball player at the college level on planet Earth. More than any guy playing college basketball this year. So, of course, they're going to talk about her and what she meant to the women's game and how she helped grow the women's game and what her legacy is going to be and what her path forward through the WNBA looks like. Of course, they're going to talk about that. But if you want more of everything else, you have to promote it. You have to get reaction. This is why I've said, y'all the listener, y'all the viewer, I don't think, from somebody's perspective in the game, I don't think y'all understand just how powerful you are with all of this. You wonder why guys stay famous, get famous, are famous? It's because you react to them. You wonder why guys disappear off into obscurity? It's because you don't promote them. Why do you think that I beg you, if you like this show, tell your friend about it. Tell your brother, your sister, your uncle, your cousin, your mommy, your daddy. Share it around on the social media. Put it up on Twitter. Put it up on Facebook. If you like the show, there is nothing better that you can do than to share it around and help us get more interactions. That's the game, my dudes. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. The Rob Brown Show is over until tomorrow on the Fan Upstate. Yeah!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.